Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith, and relationships, and the journeys that define us. Are you ready?
All right, welcome back, Revivers. We have a special guest today. I'm so excited to welcome Grayson Absher to Revive Her to chat about the beauty of being yourself. Okay, she will be sharing a little bit about her journey as a pastor's daughter and the struggles that come along with growing up that way. So growing up as a PK, pastor's daughter is what we call it here in this church world, she often felt torn between trying to live up to the expectation of others and then it also a desire to form her own path. So we hope this episode encourage you to embrace who God called you to be, uninhibited by the opinions of others. Grayson, welcome to Revive Her.
Thank you for such a wonderful welcome, Haley. And thank you both for just giving me this opportunity. I have been so looking forward to it, and it just means more to me than you know.
So the way that this came about is Grayson posted a TikTok and I wasn't even following her. I didn't even know she had TikTok and she had posted a TikTok and it just, she shared about some struggles that she had. And I'm not going to spoil it because that's what we're going to get into in this episode. But I was like, oh my gosh, people need to hear this. And one thing Noelle and I have both respected about you, Grayson, is one, when you talk, people listen. You just have a way about you, a way of seeing people's hearts, a way of just kindly, respectfully talking about things. You're just a precious, a really anointed young woman. And so I was like, people have to hear what Grayson has to say. So I really appreciate you agreeing. Come on, first of all.
Well, that means the world to me, especially coming from you all, because you both are people that I just highly respect and people that I look up to and wish that, you know, one day maybe I'll be able to do something like what you guys are doing. So it's just an amazing opportunity. And it means the world to me to hear you say that.
Oh, that makes me teary. Noelle's definitely got pregnant brain. She's tearing up over here. I know you can't see her, Grayson, but you literally made her cry, Grayson.
Oh, gosh. I'm hormonal all the time, too. So tears are fine.
All right. So I just want to get into it. What was it like growing up as a pastor's kid? Like, what kind of pressure did you feel early on? Tell us about that.
Growing up as a pastor's kid, there's just a lot of like unexpected rules and kind of standards that are placed on you that are not placed on other kids. And one great thing about my dad, which really helped me navigate this, was he never put those strict expectations. He was never like, oh, you have to do X, Y, Z because you're my daughter. Mm-hmm. So that really helped me because I knew my dad loved me unconditionally. And my dad valued our relationship more than the appearance aspect. And I think that's one thing that can be really harmful to pastors' kids is not only are those expectations placed on them by the congregation, but then also their parents kind of reinforce those unrealistic standards. But even having said that, even with my dad being so accepting, I do feel like people would kind of look at me and look at my brother, and if they saw us fall or struggle, they would think, well, if he can't even keep his own house in line, how's he supposed to tell us how to keep our house in line? So it's just, it's hard, especially as a young woman, finding who you are, all the societal pressures. And then it's also hard having that extra weight on you, feeling like you are you know, a reflection of your dad.
It can easily feel like your whole life is under a microscope. Everyone is just nitpicking every single thing that you do. I love how you said that. I think this is something people don't understand. Pastors are normal people too,
yep.
Right?
Yes.
You are a normal person too. And while the church puts you on a pedestal, they treat you as if you should be perfect and perfectionism. I love that you all are an actual representation of just a real life family. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Thank you. And I feel like that is so needed. You know, we try to put on, especially growing up in this area, so many people try to masquerade and put on this persona and just, you know, hide it. But I feel like if you don't reveal something, God can't heal it. So yeah. We try to disclose those personal sins or hide them. Mm-hmm. But when we're transparent and vulnerable about that, I feel like that's when the healing begins. I debated on sharing this, but when I found out I was pregnant, I was so worried to tell my dad because of who he is and his title. And I didn't want, even though I had been with Javier for years, we're married now, but I was just kind of thinking, I don't want to disappoint him. But the way he handled that, he just showed me so much grace. And he even got up in front of the whole church and said, I'm going to be a grandpa, y'all. There was no trying to conceal that or any kind of embarrassment. And I think I've just had such a good example that you don't have to hide things that are going on in your life. And actually, it connects more people to you when you're just open and you let them know that your kids go through the same things their kids have went through.
Grayson, we have a lot of listeners like kind of all over the country. Are you okay can you clue them into the context here?
Yes.
So for the people that don't know you, they may not know what you're talking about relating to your pregnancy.
Yes, I'm now married. His name is Javier O'Neill. We have been together for 7 years and it was an unexpected pregnancy. But so like my parents knew we were together, everything was good, but it's just even still as a grown adult woman, I was worried to tell my parents because we weren't married at the time, which I know I wished that the circumstances had been different, but I was just so worried that I was going to kind of like tarnish their reputation or that people would perceive them differently. So I really didn't share this for 15 weeks with anybody. And I kind of bore that burden alone. And then when I finally did tell them, it was just liberating because they embraced me. You know, I had a wonderful experience. Nobody was condemnational or judgmental, but it's just all of those preconceived ideas. I thought that people would feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And my dad, you know, some pastors, and I don't know, y'all have probably heard similar stories, but I've known of pastors who have found out that their daughter was pregnant out of wedlock or some other less than desirable circumstance, and they kind of try to hide that or they conceal it. But what I really respected was my dad just got up right after I told him that Sunday and said, listen, y'all, I'm going to be a grandpa. And oh, I'm so happy about it. To me, that's what I think a relationship with God is. It's knowing God loves you, in spite of the mistakes you've made. It's knowing that God can use all things and work all things together for your good.
Mm-hmm. And there's a couple points I kind of want to go back and point out is one, the enemy used fear and anxiety and fear of rejection, fear of judgment to keep you silent for 15 weeks. Like when your hormones are just absolutely raging and it's your first pregnancy, you did get pregnant unexpectedly. It wasn't like it was planned. So you have all of these emotions that a woman's going to have in general. Yeah. And then you add in what a precious daughter you are to even be concerned about how it might make your family look or how your parents are going to feel like it's going to have them be perceived, you know, as pastors. And then not even as, let's remove the pastor's kid part of it. You feel like you did something wrong. How many of us women, humans in general, do something wrong and we're like, oh gosh, what are people going to think of me? Like you were experiencing all of these things. And then there's a beautiful aspect of it is one, you're being open about it now to women who also have had the same exact experience as you. And then similar things of like, oh my gosh, I did something wrong. The church is going to disown me or my parents are going to hate me or they're going to think this or that. And you know what? None of that happened. Yeah. Sometimes, unfortunately, it does for some people, but then God can come in and make something so beautiful out of what we thought was going to be so terrible. I didn't know details of any of that. And like, I just freaking love your dad for having that reaction. I wouldn't expect anything differently from him, but like, that's just beautiful and shows the love of God in his heart. And then also the members of your church and the community. For you guys that don't know, you've heard me and Noelle say it a million times. We live in a very small town that is, you know, has tendencies of gossip sometimes. Yes. Well, small town doesn't. Everybody knows everybody. Their family, specifically Grayson's family, are like huge pillars in this community. Pretty much everyone knows who they are.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine Grayson being in your shoes, fearing, you know, how many people in the community know you and your family. But how cool how it all worked out. That's incredible.
Thank you so much. And I didn't mean to go deep so fast.
I love it. I'm here for it.
The interview. But I just think that serves as a good representation of, you know, the love of God. That story really just, like you said, I expected things to go so differently. It just comforted me to know that I could be real with my parents no matter what it was going on in my life. And I feel like, especially within the Christian community and it, you know, the small town environment, so many people do feel like they have to uphold this standard. Not only do they feel like they've disappointed God, but they also feel like they're letting their community down and their family down when they're human. And I'm not saying, I'm not condoning sin or saying that sex outside of marriage is acceptable or like, you know, but what I'm trying to really drive home is that God can use the things in your life that you wish were different. He can take all of the things in your life and use them, work them together for your good. And he definitely did that in my life.
Absolutely. And I didn't even grow up as a PK, but I always called myself an honorary PK because my dad and mom were always in ministry. My mom was the worship leader growing up. My dad was always a deacon, always serving. They just were so steeped in ministry and close with the pastors of our church. I feel like I grew up as a PK because they were just so heavily involved in ministry. So even I carried the weight of, oh my gosh, I have to be a certain way or I can't make mistakes or like my dad's going to be disappointed if I do this and that. And like, if I ever did mess up, like he never made me feel that way. Like like you were saying, Grayson, and you kind of put it on yourself, but I would feel the pressure of, oh my gosh, this makes us look bad. Or, oh my gosh, people are going to think this about my parents or this or that. And even if you aren't in a ministry family, people carry that type of weight all the time.
Yes.
And then they don't feel safe like sharing things. So I'm curious, what are some of the things that like you really loved or maybe that you believe that you didn't feel safe sharing either growing up or even now as an adult, you know, with a ministry family?
I've always considered myself really open-minded and trusting of people. Like when I first meet somebody, I instantly see the good in them, you know. And throughout my life, people have called me gullible or naive and kind of labeled like, you need to get your head out of the sand, you know, you need to live in reality. Mm-hmm. So one thing that kind of bothered me growing up was when I would see this judgmental and exclusionary attitude of some believers. And, you know, that's, I know most people, most believers really do embody the heart of God. And they do just work out their own salvation. But I would notice that the people that were supposed to be showing the most love as followers of Christ sometimes showed the least. It was hard for me because I wanted to follow God and walk in my calling, but then I also never wanted to be someone who was seen as exclusionary or somebody who I'm better than you or I know more than you. So that was my internal struggle, is wanting to be relatable, trying to find where I stand within the kingdom of God. And another thing is, and you guys are probably well aware of this, but you probably heard of toxic empathy. That's kind of become coined in some circles. And while I do believe that empathy can be toxic, I also believe empathy is one of our greatest gifts, and it kind of bridges that gap. Even one of my favorite verses is Galatians 6:1, and it says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, but keep watch on yourself, lest you too may be tempted. Jesus instructs us to show radical empathy, not condone everything, but to consider ourselves, to restore people in a spirit of gentleness and meekness, and vulnerability and humility can really be strength. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in saying all of that, I guess one of the hardest things was just finding out how to be true to what I feel about how people should be treated, and also honoring my upbringing, honoring the Bible. That was just kind of difficult for me to navigate because I guess I am someone who possesses a lot of empathy. So I can kind of put myself in anyone's shoes. And that's something that in some ways would inhibit my walk with God growing up because I would overthink things. But now I've learned to view that as a strength. And I found that God can really use that empathy. You know, I'm able to reach people that maybe some other people wouldn't be able to reach due to that, due to a more exclusive type of outlook.
I identify with that so much. My husband is always like, can you feel a little bit less? Like, can you just be like less nice sometimes? I identify with that so much. Noelle, I feel like, are you on the opposite end of the spectrum here? Like, because I totally identify with that, but I feel like knowing you, you're not on that.
Yeah, I think I do struggle with empathy. I feel like I can put myself in people's shoes, right? I really struggle with the emotional side of connection with people through emotions versus, okay, let's get you out of that. Like, I'm more like focused on the solution versus feeling the feelings. I really do struggle with that. And I have tried to work on feeling more because I feel like I am an emotional person when it comes to certain things, but I do struggle with empathy, which is why I think like this is such a good thing because you all are in that situation and I'm here and like we can work together to show people we're all different.
Yeah. And we need both. We need the Graysons and Haleys and we need the Noelles who help fix things because then you can get stuck in just the empathy side, which sometimes, like you were saying, Grayson, with the toxic empathy, sometimes empathy can cross a line into condoning things that shouldn't be condoned or making people feel like it's okay. Their sin, like, oh, I get it. It's totally fine. Like, understand. And you just keep sinning because I get why you're sinning. Like, it can it can really go too far on both ends. So
I really appreciate what you shared, both of you have shared, but with what you said, Noelle, about understanding where they're coming from on more of like a cognitive level. But it seems like you're not somebody who ruminates on it. Because I do feel that there's really a line you can feel too much. And then, like Haley said, it's not really solution focused. Yeah, it becomes more of coddling the person or just feeling too much, but then there not being any resolution. And personally, I'm more of a just I'll feel something to like almost an erotic point. Yeah.
Girl, I get you.
Yeah, this is Haley to the scene.
I gotta like, I'm like, I need like 50 milligrams of Lexapro because I feel too much, y'all.
Yes.
It's just funny to see us too, how we handle things because sometimes Haley will be like, am I overreacting? Am I being overly emotional? And I'll be like, yes, you are.
You like, need let, people like
you
that.
Are.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just a great balance. Uh-huh. But then there are times where I'm like, man, I probably should have been less harsh or maybe I should have been more sensitive or, you know, and it is a struggle. Mm-hmm. It's such a struggle. All right. So next question is, what's one lie that you believed about yourself for way too long?
The biggest lie that I believed was that God could use everybody except me. A lot of times I would feel like I was so broken and so flawed that I couldn't be used. And then I would compare myself to people who I did see starting their dream job, stepping out into ministry. And I would think, well, yeah, they can do that because they're so intellectual or they have this together. And, you know, I'm someone who's severely ADD. I'm someone who struggles with all of these things. So I would constantly disqualify myself. And comparison became like the ultimate thief of joy in my life. Mm-hmm. So I've really had to learn to stop comparing myself so much to others and just appreciating the unique gifts and contributions that I have and focusing on my strengths rather than my weaknesses.
I think that's like one of the most relatable things, especially for women. I mean, what woman doesn't compare herself to other people? And I identify with that too, Grayson. And just to give you some encouragement, ma'am, if anybody can start a business and be successful, like I did, like if I can do it, anybody can. Yeah. Because I had zero knowledge of business ownership. I even had zero desire. And I just got into this. If you guys listen to first ever episode of this podcast 4 seasons ago, I share a little bit of my testimony and seeing that spot I was in creating a business in the deepest, darkest spot of my entire life. If I can do that, like anybody can do that. I felt I had no skill, no talent, no purpose, no worthiness. All of the negative feelings that Satan could put in your head was in my head. Look at me now. Yeah. And it's because of God, God alone. So we will never be able to do it in our own strength and our own talents or skills or whatever. It's God and God alone that will get you to your wildest dreams. So getting a little sidetracked here, but I'm curious, if you could do anything, are you doing it? Is housewife, mom, is that your dream? Do you want to ever have a business, like have your own ministry? Like, what are Grayson's dreams?
Well, right now I am a stay-at-home mom, but I'm pursuing my master's degree in counseling. So I go back to work August 20th and I'll be completing my practicum at Graham Middle School.
Grayson, that's huge.
Thank you. So that is something that I really feel passionate about, because I really enjoy conversing with people. And I feel like one thing that I'm kind of good at is talking. So that was the one thing that I could really see myself doing.
I love that. And with your level of empathy too, that's one thing I've always seen in you is that empathy that you mentioned. So gosh, you will be a phenomenal counselor. I had no idea. That's so exciting.
And another thing that I have considered before, and I've had friends that have really kind of encouraged me to do this, but I would eventually like to write a book, because I love to write. I feel like I'm a much better writer than I am conversationalist. So I would really like to one day just sit down, write a book, maybe in the future become an author. I know that's kind of far-fetched, but that is something that
I have not considered. Well, when you do it, come to Slade Coffee House and we will do your book launch for you. We'll do all your marketing and we will get you to those millions, sister.
Thank you so much. I just need someone to really push me into that, because I have the thought, but it's just like the execution.
But back to that original question, I think everything y'all said, I want to share this. Asking yourself that one lie and even feeling like you're not good enough, something I've learned is it's the people that you surround yourself with, right? So it's like, I relate to this because it's like my circle for so long. Have you ever heard that analogy of like the bucket of crabs, where like the crabs are trying to crawl out of the bucket and the crab's natural instinct is to use its pinchers and pull the crab down?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Yeah. So I always say that like my circle was a bucket of crabs for a really long time. But I always had, just like you, Grayson, like these hopes and these dreams and just like all of these things inside of me where I knew I was meant for more. Mm-hmm. Like I had this feeling like, okay, God, you are calling me to more, but what is that? Mm-hmm. And it started with me stepping out of that circle, out of the bucket of crabs, and surrounding myself with people. Like I think of even me and Haley, not to toot our own horns, but just like hearing Haley say like, you can do it. Like, let's go. It's surrounding yourself with the doers and the people that are like, let's go. Even Haley starting her own business. I remember we were in a hotel room in Nashville and I was like, you need to start a business. You need to get online. And it was a different business than she's doing now. Mm-hmm. But it was just like this belief of the people that you surround yourself with.
It literally took you saying that. I would have never considered it or never thought I could do it. But you planted the seed. Like we've said that before. She planted that seed in me. And then I just started ruminating on it a little bit. And and then I felt impressed to like pray about it. And then here I am 4 years later. I've worked with celebrities, huge brands. I've been in magazines and all the things. And it's not saying anything to me. I could not have done that without Jesus. Right. Like it has been the most God-ordained thing of my entire life. And I'm able to give him the glory with my platform. And it's like the coolest thing, because he gets all the credit. Yeah. And if you seek it, just like you, Grayson, with a book, he will make a way.
Everything y'all have said has resonated with me, because even with the analogy with the crabs in the bucket, I think I surrounded myself so long with people who just saw me in this one dimensional light. Yeah. And y'all probably heard dumbing yourself down. My parents always told me, don't dumb yourself down. But that was kind of my way of relating to people, was self-depreciating. Like I would feel the need to constantly put myself down and say, oh yeah, well, I'm dumb, I'm this, I'm that. And even though there was humor behind it, there was also a lot of pain behind it. And you shared, Noelle, I always intrinsically felt that there was more in me than what I had given myself credit for. Mm-hmm. But the negative reinforcements that I received from other people, and just the self-limitations that I had imposed on myself, it was just this cyclical type of negativity that I allowed to get inside of me. and consume me. And I just, it was hard to really pull myself out of that, which only by the grace of God have I been able to start pulling myself out of that. But I think just having one person like you guys have, having that one person who believes in you and who sees those gifts inside mm-hmm. of you, even when you don't see those gifts inside of yourself, that makes all the difference in the world. Just having one person who sees it, even when you don't see that yourself.
Gosh, that's so good. Next question I want to get into before we let you go is, I feel like you have lived so much life, Grayson, being a pastor's kid, being in this small town, the community ministry, all of the things. What, if any, has there been a low point in your life that taught you to just finally let go and embrace who you are? Like to just forget caring what people think about you, the perception, and just like be fully Grayson?
There have been several low points in my life, if I being fully transparent. I think I don't know if I shared this earlier, but I went through a stage in my life where I was partying a lot, drinking a lot, and I almost used that as a coping mechanism. I am someone who suffers from severe OCD and generalized anxiety. I also, like I shared, I have pretty severe ADD too. So for me, drinking and going out, that kind of became a coping mechanism for me. I have wonderful friends, so I'm not knocking them or putting them down. But my friends and even people in the church, they would see that behavior, but they didn't see the underlying root or the underlying pain that led me to that. During that season, I reached such a low point inside of myself because I started to believe that that was all that I could ever be, was just a failure, a disappointment. And I started to mm-hmm. really internalize those negative opinions about myself. But I finally surrendered that to God, and I finally just was real with myself and real with God. And going back to what we said about appearances, I had to let go of trying to uphold an appearance mm-hmm. and just be real with God and let Him know what I struggled with and let Him know that I was hurting. Because so for me, that was just kind of a way of me to cope through that pain, was self-numbing, drinking, mm-hmm. doing X, Y, and Z. And I kind of lost sight of who I really was. As a young girl, I felt a very deep reverence for the Holy Spirit. Even when I would go to a pool, this is kind of funny, but I would baptize all the kids in the pool.
That is my kids right now.
And I would ask my parents, anybody I would meet, I would say, are they a Christian? So yeah. I had yeah. this sensitivity to the Lord, but then mm-hmm. life kind of jaded that and numbed me to that mm-hmm. for so many years. For me, it was just finally realizing that I wasn't living up to who God called Grayson Apsher to be. I was living as a fragmented version of that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just step into who I was meant to be and embrace the deeper part of myself and, you know, stop dumbing myself down. The answer to that was kind of everywhere. But for me, it was just being real.
No, it was super relatable. Mm-hmm. And I actually have a follow-up question based on what you just said. I'm curious, everything you just said, I've met so many women who have been in that same spot and some who are stuck in that same spot. So I'm curious, what advice would you give someone who's still in that spot? Like, I know you said that you kind of just went to God and you gave it to Him, but what did that look like? If you had to give advice to someone walking in that same spot, like what would you tell them to do or how to pray or just what steps should they take? Like, what would you tell someone in that same spot?
I would just tell them to realize, and this is a quote directly from my dad, but this is something that reoccurred in my mind when I would feel really low, and just that there was a lot of shame that came along with some of the decisions I made. But just remind yourself that God put it in you before the world put it on you. So whatever label that has been placed on you is not disqualifying. The purpose that God put inside of you is greater than that. So I had to even remind myself of that. Like, I may have OCD, ADHD, anxiety, but I'm more than that. And also, mm-hmm. I would encourage you all that may be feeling this way to just boast in your weaknesses. You know, there's that verse in 2 Galatians 12:9 that says, I will boast in my weaknesses that the power of God may dwell upon me. You don't have to be ashamed or harbor those feelings of self-hatred. Allow God to use that. Allow God mm-hmm. into that pain. And don't be embarrassed of the seasons of your life that you were ashamed of, because you may be that one person that God can use to speak to somebody else.
Absolutely.
The best way to really break yourself out of that is to realize that you went through that for a reason, that it wasn't in vain. And when you begin walking, like Haley and Noelle have shared, not in your own strength, but in the strength of God, that makes the difference. It takes the burden off of you and puts it onto God, because ultimately man didn't call you and man can't take it away from you.
I love that, because I think that's a great reminder that I can relate to all of that myself, even like the drinking and the partying and just losing myself in that and feeling like I felt like in that season, like I wasn't likable unless I was partying, or like my friends weren't going to want to hang out with me unless I was partying and all of this. But something I have noticed that clicked, like when you said that, is that those seasons, I'm not proud of those seasons, but they have shaped me into who I am today, but they have allowed me to help so many people who are still in that. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we go through different things. That way we can help, like, be that survival guide for people who are still in those seasons. And I love that quote that it says something like, my favorite people are ones who walk out of the fire, like carrying buckets of water for people who are still in the fire. Mm-hmm. And that is a perfect representation of why we go through those things, mm-hmm. is so we can reach back and help people versus being ashamed of them. Because I was ashamed of a lot of things for about 2 years. And I just sat quiet in church and just went through the lowest parts of depression and all these things in shame. But it was like I could constantly feel the Holy Spirit telling me, you have to share. You have to share this. You have to start being loud. Mm-hmm. And it's like whenever I started sharing that vulnerable part of my past, that's when this ministry has been birthed. Mm-hmm. Like that's where I found my fire for even like business and mm-hmm. mentorship and ministry, just all the things. It come from verbalizing my testimony.
And we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That is like one of the, I mean, all scripture is true.
Yeah.
But I was like, one of the most true scriptures that I've lived. Like we carry so much shame about our past or what we've been through or who we are, man. When you just let her rip and you tell and you just lay it all out, that's one thing we love about our pastor, Brandon Hay. I know you know who that is, Grayson, but he just lays it all out, and it makes such a difference for people. And it's like you truly are overcome. So Grayson, thank you so much for coming on Revive Her. This has been one of my favorite conversations. Like I knew it would be good, but it even like was so much better than I expected to.
Thank you so much, because I was nervous. So thank you.
No, it's been great.
I mean, I knew it would be an excellent conversation with you all, but thank you.
Yeah, it's going to impact so many people. Noella, do you have anything else to add before we let Grayson go?
Yeah, I do want to say thank you for sharing your story. And I also want to add, which we're going to give you an opportunity to tell everyone where they can connect with you online, but go follow her, because something I want to say that I've just seen from your content is it always gives me a different perspective.
Yes.
Like every time I read what you post, I'm like, man, I needed to read that.
Absolutely.
Because it gives you a different perspective. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to add that little shameless plug.
Yeah, Grayson is one of the most wise people I have ever met. Like, especially for her age. It's just like you are just so full of wisdom and understanding, and like you said, Noelle, perspective. So you will not be disappointed. So that being said, Grayson, if people want to follow you, read your content, or connect with you, where can they find you?
I'm on Facebook. It's Grayson Absher Onate. And on Instagram, it's just Grayson Absher. I also have a TikTok. I've started to make videos on there at Grayson Absher 805.
Perfect. And we'll have all this in the show notes for everybody too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Grayson. All right, Revivers, we'll catch you later.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate the show, follow us on Instagram, leave a review on Apple, and check out our website, reviveherpodcast.com.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.